Smallbiz America.
The brain.
Our guest on this segment thinks very differently about leadership, describing it as tangible energy. He says everyone leads. Author and executive coach Brian Broaddus has been referred to as a momentum changer for his ability to refocus people's energy on their best days and their best self. He integrates what you already know about leadership with an intimate and energized shift in thinking that creates an electrified upward spiral. This sounds so inspiring. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David.
Great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Let's talk about this idea that we're walking around, we're half awake. Talk to us about what you mean when you say that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. So, you know, and I talk about leaders because leaders have to have a higher perspective. Leaders are supposed to create ease at work and a comfort and put everybody in a place of productivity and calm resolve. And if your leaders are uptight, what do you think your team members are doing? So, very important. It's crucial. You set the tone.
When you say that we're half awake, are you saying that, in a sense, that leaders are operating unconsciously with their behavior, unaware of the effect that their calm or other attributes you just mentioned have on the rest
right.
of their team?
That's correct. Communicating on many levels. So a scowled face. People pick up on this kind of thing. I hear it all the time. A turned up eyebrow, a look. It could be that subtle, but it also could be, you know, shooting the messenger. What are you doing? What are you doing telling me? Why don't you go fix it?
Yeah.
We don't understand. We miss the data, and the technology is wonderful, wonderful stuff. You know, it's a tool, though. But we miss is the connection, is what we are able to give. You know, it goes back to the power of one person to make a difference. In it doesn't take that long, 2 minutes. Look, drop your phone. And look at someone in the eye, look at your team member, and say, yes, what do you need?
The connection. Yeah, I was going to say, sorry to step on you, but I was going to add that it seems that a lot of this that you're talking about right now, it has to do with being present in the moment with yourself and with whoever you're dealing with as a leader, as a manager, right?
That is correct. And to do that, see, people, you go to a seminar, you go to a workshop, and they say this is what you have to do, and that's great, but those are words. Those are just words. And I know, I think people make fun of affirmations and those kinds of, and they're right,
right,
because it's just words. But I'm saying turn those into action.
And language is vitally important. It's crucial to language because language is a thought, an expression of thought, and it becomes real in the world. As you say, tangible energy starts with a thought.
Right. That's right. That's a good point. And that's why I say, I've been to almost every leadership workshop there is. You name it, I've been there. And and what they're working on is vision, and what they're working on is conflict management and political awareness, political savvy. But before that, what kind of energy are you bringing to the vision? What kind of energy are you bringing to conflict management? And if you're thinking, I hate those SOBs and I'm going to fix them, well, that's not much managing of conflict, is it? That's where I go back to, it's your energy. It's what you bring to that vision. Let's say you're going to a leadership workshop. Let's say we send Homer Simpson to a leadership workshop. What do you think we're going to get? The energy that he brings to a leadership workshop, you're not going to change him talking about vision and conflict management.
Brian, when you talk about energy and being present with those that you are leading, how does the concept of boundaries, and I mean personal or professional boundaries, fold in? The idea of a hierarchical structure. I mean, I've interviewed folks that have talked about a structureless environment with thousands and thousands of employees that actually works. And then I've also talked to those that are in, that come and have been molded in, we'll call them military types of environments, veterans coming back that are quite by design working in a hierarchical kind of a structure. So how do you think about all this, and how does it fold into your concept of leadership?
Right. Yeah, good. Those are very good points, and you point out what is out there, the reality.
Yeah.
Reality.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So how do you go to one leadership workshop and then work in both those arenas? How do you do that?
Mm.
That's why you need to have the energy. I worked in government, so I know all about hierarchy. I know about chain of command. I know about that. how I take that is you have to have boundaries. You just do. It's the energy you bring to that too. You're very professional. You're always on professional mode. You're never below the line on personal or informalities.
Yeah, getting messy.
To the point that puts you at risk or something. What would that be, like a liability? Never do that. You would never do that as a leader, and people will pick up on that. It's amazing what they pick up on, and they'll do what you do. They'll follow what you set out, the tone that you set. It doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen quickly. You have to build this, and this is what I say about the development of the individuals in my book, High Impact Leadership. It's easy to talk about, and it's really tough to do, though. You have to develop it. We don't come to the table fully equipped to look people in the eye, to be compassionate, but yet hold people accountable at the same time. That's a skill, and that takes practice, and that takes development, and you have to be internally strong to do that.
You have said that we have, in America, an employee engagement problem. Of course, we've got a lot of problems in a lot of ways, but this employee engagement problem, we've touched on some of it now, but mostly from the vantage point of the leadership part. What about the employee? What part do they play in creating their own leadership as an employee, for example?
Sure.
Or maybe
absolutely.
That's not the way, that may not be the way you would ask the question. So I'll defer to you to guide this, but you know where I'm going.
Sure, I do. And you go back to the beginning where it says everybody leads. Everyone leads. You know, we're just at different levels. Lead your life is what I would say. And this is what I have said when I was in the leader's chair. You see what I'm bringing. You see what I expect of you. I expect nothing less than professionalism and the highest level of engagement. And I will give you that in return. You know, how can I help you be more productive? What can I do to help you be more productive? Now, you do that for a time, and you give people the benefit of the doubt, and then there comes a time, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then, you know, it makes it really easy, and I've done this. You call people in and you say, well, we've had these talks. This is our third one, and we did this. We put you on a performance improvement plan. You know, I've given you numerous chances, and I still see this lack, so I'm going to have to we're going to have to part ways. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, accountability is not given away. You know, you certainly hold people accountable. Everyone leads. You lead your life. You know, if you have an area, if you're a whatever you do, IT, janitorial, supply chain, you lead your area. A dispatcher at a police station has a certain criteria to follow. Everybody has a criteria to follow. And number one, you have to be a professional. Number two, what is your level of leadership? What is expected of you? Everybody should know that from the leader. And then you abide accordingly. But that doesn't mean we can't be friendly, and it doesn't mean we can't be compassionate. But this is the other thing, when the leaders get to know their people, and I've done this with different organizations, you know your people so intimately because you have connected with them. You know when they're off kilter. You know when they're off their game. You know when they need someone to talk to. You know when they need a break because you know them so well.
So you're really suggesting an energetic view to observation from the standpoint of leadership, a 360 view, a very heightened level of sensitivity without it interfering with your ability to, well, I won't say command and control, but lead with authority and lead with accountability and expectations and all those other sort of things that are baked into management. But it's this high intuitive thing that you're describing from what I can tell.
It is. Yeah. You're right. And the command control, you don't have to do command control because it's a given. They see you. They see how you operate.
Yes.
And you're right next to them.
Yeah.
And obviously you're in charge.
Right. It's not something you have to force because it's you are the love, as they say. You know, you are being the love. We're visiting with Brian Broaddus of the website www.thebroaddusgroup. I'll spell that THEBRAUDIS. group.com. You mentioned your book, High Impact Leadership. When was it written? Why did you write it? And let's get a tour a little bit of what's inside.
Sure. I wrote it and over the last couple of years, and I published it in January this year. And high impact, it's a lot more than meets the eye. How do you make an impact? What it says is through yourself. Through yourself. Think about it. Think about it. If you've been in your job 20 years as a leader, and every day you've come in and you're completely composed, you have complete composure, you have self-control, you have self-discipline, people around you, your deputies, your COOs, your managers on the floor are cranky, have mood swings, just normal days of, no, they're not bad people, it's just what happens at work, right? It's, we all get that. But you're the leader, you are always even-keeled, you're always composed, you either, you're always smiling, you have it together, at least at work. Just imagine the impact that would be over a 20-year period. Every day. I've had people that I've coached that have done this. And when I go around and I look and I sit down and do a 360, I do my 360s. I like to do them ideally face-to-face.
Yeah.
Fill out a paperwork. And
yeah.
Man, the people tell me, oh, she's great. She has been wonderful. And every day, and I'm cranky. People put it on themselves. That's impact. And that's how I got the word. I said, so what is that like? She goes, it's impactful. It's unbelievable. And then they feel like they need to correct themselves. They need to be in a better mood. They need to be like their boss. So you see the tone that's being set. You see
yes,
that?
Yes, it's
that's
a behavioral tone.
Impact.
Yep.
That's the impact.
Yeah.
And I also mentioned in here about profit in the introduction, you know, just chasing profit. It gives you a poverty mentality. And if you go back a little lower and a little deeper, just remember what we learned in management class, a raise is not that motivating to an employee. It's not the highest motivation.
That's right.
For to do good work. So why would profit be the number one motivator for a CEO or a business owner? Not really. It's not really. It's a poverty mentality. It's contribution. It's making something. It's contributing something. It's making the world better for yourself, for others. So I touch on that too. The book's broken into two halves. The first half is take control of your mind and be the master, not the servant, of your habits of thought. And then part two is aim higher. I'd be happy to send you a copy, Dave.
I would love to have one, and folks can get it. I'm sure it's available on Amazon and all the other usual suspects, right?
Exactly.
High Impact Leadership is the name of the book by Brian Broaddus, our guest today. You know, you're really talking about a reframe on leadership from top to bottom, or a tweak if those of us who are maybe already practicing, and this is a practice, it's a practice. I like to sometimes think of it as, and you might or may not agree with this premise, really taking joy, pleasure, and satisfaction in being the calm in a storm. Amidst the chaos of an organization that's moving at a high velocity where there's a certain injection of chaos every moment or every day, filling orders, satisfying customers. Of course, this varies from business model to business model, that you can just remain calm and find that silent center inside. Do you like that image, and does it fold into the work you do?
I do, and it folds directly into the work I do. And to me, nothing more important is needed. Nothing more critical is needed. Watch the news. Watch the news and what you see. That's not everywhere. Of course, they take, you know, they sensationalize things, but that's
sure.
That's the tip of the iceberg. Just imagine, like I said earlier, the impact you would have if, like you described, if you were always on calm, if you had great resolve. People can come to you in their chaotic moments because they know you. Or you've got the water bottle. You're going to put water on that fire.
Yeah.
I'll go to David. He's gonna help me. David will have the answer. David, what would that feel like? What would that feel like? If you're the leader and you have a team leader, if you have a team member, if you have a COO, let's go to David. He'll take care of this. How would David feel? What a feeling.
That's a deeply satisfying image. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's deeply satisfying. And I think part of this is they know you have a predictable way that you'll behave no matter what they come in this case, me with the leader. They can trust that there'll be a foundation of predictable behavior. And I think that's really what you're pointing to as you talk about it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, that's the foundation. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine it's how safe an environment, you know, because people feel silly. Oh, I feel silly asking this question. I'm the only one that doesn't know the answer. But, you know, oh my goodness, you know, we've all had that feeling. But you go to your boss's office and you know that your boss is going to say, no, it's okay. You know, here's the way I think about that. What do you think? Just imagine the safety. How would you feel? We always talk about children at school need to be feeling good, need to have a warm meal in their belly to learn. Well, what about employees? How do they need to feel to be productive, to be engaged, what you said earlier about engagement? What do they need to contribute more? They need you, the leader, to set the tone and to feed and fuel them and cultivate.
I love this. I see that you're coaching and consulting, and of course, we've talked about your speaking. How does your coaching model work? Is it one-on-one? Do you do group stuff? Talk a little bit about what we can find at thebroadestgroup.com.
Sure, we do all those. I do what I'm asked to do. I work with the clients to develop what is needed at the moment, what is needed the most return on investment. What do you need right now? I mean, we you have a laundry list, but what is critical right now? What's going to move the needle today, tomorrow, in a month, in 30 days? Long engagements, I have been retained, but long engagements are fine, but shorter engagements that are intense are much more appealing to me. And then they come back for checkups, for check-ins. Hey, is this right? Am I doing these kinds of things? So, yes, I work in all angles, and I just introduced to one group, peer coaching. Powerful, powerful. So what we're describing here about being composed and having great resolve and everybody's in the right mood, in the right frame, your managers, because, you know, your managers are spread thin. You've got three or four managers and that's it. Now you've got peer coaching a step below the managers, and the managers overseeing the peer coaching. So you're creating, like, for lack of a better word, a lattice of leadership.
Yeah.
And the peer coaching, it's been proven that it's one of the most effective things you can do. And the model isn't really in concrete yet, let me just say, but certainly the spirit of it is. And, you know, what I do with a lot of my work is the model is the individual. And it says right in my book that, you know, there is no leadership model. The leadership model is you. And what do you take from everything you've read and the leadership workshops that you've attended? How can you light a fire to composure, connection, involvement, engagement for those around you?
Such a great place to leave it, and really a delight to have you on this program. Brian Broaddus has been our guest. The website, The Broaddus Group, and I'll spell that T-H-E-B-R-A-U-D-I-S group.com. Coaching, consulting, speaking. Check out his book, High Impact Leadership, as well. Brian, we'll do it again. Thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, David. It was great to be here.
Small Biz America.